Book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Let's stand and stretch a little bit if you can tonight, and we'll stand for the honor of the reading of the Word of God. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, when you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." In other words, they gave and really didn't even have it to give. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Lord, that's a mouthful, isn't it? "I know both how to be abased," that's brought low, "and I know how to abound," to be brought high. "And everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Thank you for standing tonight. Our Father, I pray that You'd help me tonight. Lord, that You would let me be a blessing to these Your people. And Lord, I realize that we are Your sheep, we're in Your pasture. Lord, I'm the under-shepherd. You're the great shepherd. But I pray that You would do a mighty work in the hearts of Your sheep tonight. God, we need to hear from You. I pray for our church. I want to thank You, Lord, how You've blessed us. Lord, how good You've been to us. Lord, I pray for Miss Sherry and Miss Susan tonight. God, You'd help them in this hour with their daddy. Lord, we're so glad that we've got a Heavenly Father tonight. We'll never have to say goodbye to You. And so we bless Your good name tonight. I pray You'd honor Your Word. Help these teachers that's so faithful to come tonight. Bless the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Now notice Paul says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last Your care of me has flourished again." That word flourished, he says, it is went above and beyond being a blessing. He said, "I was in a Roman jail cell, and I lacked some things." But he said, "You even lacked opportunity. You had some needs, but you done without that I may have." And boy, isn't it amazing how that God honors a sacrificial giving, how God, you know, it's not very hard to give out of the abundance, is it? But boy, you want to get God's attention. You go to giving when you just really ain't got it to give. And boy, how God blesses a place. You know what he said? He said, "You flourished again." He said, "But you've lacked opportunity." This church that was so small and had so little, they seen somebody else having a greater need than what they had. And tonight I'm not going to preach on missions, but I guess that's one of the greatest verses that we could pick up a text with tonight. Boy, how God has blessed our church for being a mission-given church. Folks, you will never, ever outgive the Lord. And I hope that you're praying about this up the mountains with Brother J.C. and, boy, how God could befriend our church to allow us to give to such a cause. And I tell you, it would just be a blessing to me if God had opened that door. We could help them up in the mountains and, boy, let's watch God go to blessing here at the home base. Amen. And so Paul says, "I know both how to be abased. I know how it is to be brought low." And I don't know what a lot of these health and wealth prosperity boys preaching tonight is going to do with that verse. There was never a man, I believe, beside the Lord Jesus Christ that come behind Jesus that walked any closer than the Apostle Paul. I don't believe it was any man ever wrote in this Bible that walked as close to our Jesus as this apostle. And he says, "I know how to be abased or brought low." And he said, "I know how to abound. But everywhere in all things I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, to abound, to suffer need. But he said, you know what? He said, I done found out something now. He said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I want to preach on good things come in cans tonight. Good things come in cans. I ain't much on canned biscuits, amen. But they will do, Brother Darrell, in time of need. Ain't nothing like homemade biscuits. Nothing like it. But you know something, if you'll notice, there are some things, and we'll break this verse down tonight. He said, I can. Notice there's a statement. The old saying that can't never could, that goes a long way tonight. If you start out in a process and you say, I cannot, then more than out, you will not. I love his positive attitude. Now, he's riding out of a Roman jail cell. He's riding back to this little church at Philippi. Remember, he saved the old Philippian, he got the old Philippian jailer saved. He's seen Lydia saved, the seller of purple. He's seen the little damsel that was tied up with soothsayers. Seen her get saved over at Philippi, and they started this church. And they was living on this meager things. And now he's riding back and he says, you know what? I found out that I can do all things through Christ. Wouldn't that be a great statement if we never did meet anybody that was defeated? Wouldn't that be great if we took this verse and wrote it, put it in our pocket and reminded us every day that we live, I can? Can I tell you tonight that you can? I don't care how dark things look. I don't care how bleak things may be. But we've got a piece of scripture in our Bible tonight that said, we can. I can. There's a statement. Number two, there is, notice, a success. I can do. Now, a lot of us say, I can't do nothing. That ain't what the Word of God says. Word of God says you can do anything, but not by yourself. So we see a statement, I can. And then we see success, can do. But what can we do? What can we do? All things. There's the scope. All things. That's a lot of stuff, amen. I can do all things. That got a hold of me today. Now, I had to shake my head. A lot of us, we think we can do a few things. And you know, a lot of times in church, we always waiting on somebody else to do something. But you ain't got to do that, because the Bible says you can do it tonight. You can do all things. Preach, I can't preach. I bet you could if he'd help you. I can't sing, but the Holy Ghost get on me, I can. Preacher, I can't stand up and testify. The Holy Ghost get on you, you can. Preacher, I'm not good at praying. Well, you got to start sometime. I can do all things. There's a statement. There's success. There's a scope. All things. That's a bunch of stuff. All things. I'm so glad he didn't write, I found out I can do a few things. But it'd make me want to sometime not come out. But he said, I can do all things. And then watch this, not only the scope, but there's a source through Christ. Don't forget that. We can't do nothing by ourselves. Matter of fact, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I believe what he said. Nothing. A big circle with the middle rubbed out of it. We can do nothing without Christ. I like the source of it through Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse number 20. This word through Christ. The source. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now tonight, the source of our strength, it is through Christ. I like it. I can do all things through Christ. Watch this. Which strengtheneth me. There's an ongoing process that He does through the child of God. Not only has He strengthened you, but He strengtheneth us. What a blessing to know a God that can help us through everything that we need to get through. He said, I done found out now I'm an old man. I can do all things. I want to say, I can be happy. Now, I want to say number two, I can be holy. I ain't got to live like the devil. I can be just as close to Jesus as I want to be. I can be holy. I can be helpful. I can be honest. Thank God I can be heaven bound. I'm glad of that tonight. But now I want to deal with three main things of what Christ can help us do. And it will amaze you tonight what you may find out what you can do through Christ. A lot of times the devil paints a bleak picture, don't he? It's amazing to me how the devil can take a paintbrush and paint the most doom and gloom picture and make you read it and make you believe it. It's amazing what he can do. But you know, Paul saying, I can do all things. I want to say that you'll find out that he can help you deal with your fellow man. He can help you deal with your fellow man. You see, he can let you forgive the unforgivable. That's amazing to me tonight. In Matthew 6 and verse number 12, I can do all things. I can forgive the unforgivable. Your problem is tonight, you don't want to forgive. A good start to your can would be a good case of want-tos. Forgive the unforgivable. Matthew 6 and verse 12. Notice what the Bible says. Here's the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is saying this, and He says, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. I can tell you, it would be a good way tonight to know this, if God has forgiven you, if you've forgiven somebody else. That's what He said. He said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a weighty verse tonight. Now, I can do all things through Christ. I can forgive the unforgivable. Now, notice this in 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, we have some posted signs up, but isn't it amazing how sometimes people steps over that posted sign? Any of you ever seen a no hunting sign and you looked around and you went on across the fence anyhow? Any of you ever seen a no fishing sign? You looked around and you didn't see nobody and so you just went on and hipped yourself to their largemouth bass. Somebody say amen right there. But ain't it amazing the whole time you're fishing, you're doing this right here. A lot of y'all know John Traylor in the community. We used to bird hunt a lot. He had a little bird dog, and we'd ride the dirt roads back over here behind the church in the edge of Alabama. John would stop, and that little dog would unload, and she'd go out in front of the truck, and when she'd point a covey of birds, me and old John would pull over, we'd get out and shoot the birds, she'd load back, and we'd go find another covey. Well, it was just like a magazine picture happened one day. That little dog went out, and I noticed she stopped at a man's pee patch. She throwed her little nose up, and she looked, and she went on the fence, and the Lord is my witness, brother. She went and pointed a power pole in a man's pea patch, said, no hunting on it. She pointed that sign. And John looked at me, grabbing his guy, said, what you going to do, John? He said, what you think I'm going to do? Boy, we went across that fence. We said, bam, 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 bam. About that time, screen door slammed, and a man went to screaming on the porch. What was you doing, preacher? We was trespassing. Trespassing. You know what? When people cross over the fence in your territory and they ask you to forgive them, we are to forgive them tonight. Somebody say amen right there. Boy, I tell you, it's hard to forgive the unforgivable. You may find some people in your life that's done some bad things to you. But Jesus says that we can do all things through Him that strengthens us, and we can forgive the unforgivable. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. Matter of fact, I think it would help our worship a lot of times if we could forgive people. Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. And I don't know about you, but you're going to find this out. The more you deal with people, the more people's going to hurt you. And so everybody's not going to do the way you do. They're not going to do the way you want them to do. So we've got to learn about this thing of forgiveness. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Aren't you glad that God put a seal on you? And by the way, if you look this up, this is a ring seal. The king had a seal on his ring, and he would stamp his insignia. I'm glad we got a stamp on us tonight showing that we are sealed by the Spirit of God. I'm glad I'm a child of the king. Look what he said. We're sealed. How long? To the day of redemption. Honey, if you could work your way into heaven tonight, you could work your way out. But ain't you glad there was a God of grace one day? Come by where you was, convicted you of your sins, and put the stamp of grace upon your heart. And he said, it'll see you to heaven. Just shout every chance you can get. He said, you'll be sealed to the day of redemption. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh tonight. I'm glad there's a better day coming for the child of God. No more graveyards. No more cemeteries. No more shovels to mow the hillside of glory. No more goodbye. No more sad conversations. Thank God we're headed to a better place tonight. He said, you sealed to the day of redemption. No more people talking about you. Look what he says. Let all bitterness. He said, I don't want an inkling of it left in you. Let all bitterness. You know, a little bit of bitterness, but it'll make your life miserable. He said, let all bitterness. Look what he says there. And wrath and anger. You know, bitterness is smoldering resentment. Wrath is wild rage. Anger is a subtle, deep feeling. Clamor is a shout or outcry out of control. Slander is blasphemy, and malice is evil. He said, let all this be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, buddy, I can't beat that pound loud enough tonight. Look what he says. Be ye kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. You better believe that Christ is in there for a reason. Because if it wasn't for Christ, honey, we'd have got justice and would be in hell. But he said, for Christ's sake, since you've trusted Christ, since he died for you on Calvary, he said, I'll forgive you of who that you was. For Christ's sake, I'm going to forgive you. Oh, Lord, we ought to be kind one to another and tender-hearted. Tender-heartedness goes a long way. You ever notice how that some people's heart is more tender than others? Boy, how we ought to keep a tender heart one for another. You know, I think that we ought to forgive the unforgivable. Preacher, you don't know what they've done to me. No, you don't know what you've done to that cross of Calvary. You don't know what you've done to that Christ that hung on that cross. But preacher, you don't understand. You don't know what they've done to me. What your Bible say? As Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Has God forgiven you of anything huge? Did you know there would never be any splits in marriage if you could forgive? And do right? When somebody asks for forgiveness, it means they're done with it. And did you know if people was genuinely repentant and forgiveness was given, we'd have very little problems? Forgiveness. Takes two, though, don't it? But you know something tonight? Jesus says, forgive the unforgivable. And I'll tell you another thing He can let you do. Not only can He let you forgive the unforgivable, He can let you love the unlovable. That's amazing to me, what the Spirit of God, who He'll make you love. Luke 6 and 26. Luke 6 and 26. Make you love the unlovable. Verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which is here, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Lord, that right there is about as hard a verse I found I can swallow. I don't know about y'all, but I was raised to get even. And not really even was enough. Get over. Even meant you hadn't won nothing. If one eye got black, one black eye wasn't enough to suit me back. That was just even. Look what he says. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And what's this? And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of you. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. That's a good verse to live by right there. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. You know what he's saying? He's saying somebody's watching you. He's saying don't even the defiled, don't even the sinners love them that love them. But he said they ought to be more in me and you than what a sinner's got. That's what he says. Verse 33, if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing gain, and your reward shall be great. Watch now. Your reward shall be great. You might not get it that Friday evening. You have to swallow that pride. Or that Monday morning when you walk in, you say, what am I doing in this place? Look what it says. For your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. O me, verse 37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can forgive the unforgivable, but I can also love the unlovable. But I ain't got to run with them. I got a choice about who I run with. But I am to love. And I'll tell you another thing. This Bible says I need to pray for them. And this Bible says when they jawing on you and chewing on you, turn a cheek and let them jaw on that side. I believe some of y'all was raised on the porch I was raised on. Y'all don't like that, do you? But you know what? That's what Jesus said we're to do. And you know, you can tell if you're growing in the Lord if these things come to your heart. Now friend, it's hard to love somebody that don't love you. It's hard to love somebody that's talking about you like you're a polecat. But Jesus said you can love the unlovable. What did He say? All things or few things? I can do all things through Christ. So here the Bible says that He can let us forgive the unforgivable. We can love the unlovable, but you know in Colossians 3:13, we can bear the unbearable. You ever got around somebody that's got on your last nerve? Colossians 3:13. Bear the unbearable. I mean, really, does anybody just ever, you know, I mean, you can just see them get out of a car. I can see them sometime coming, and I'll pick another door. But the preacher, he ain't human, is he? You know, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can bear the unbearable. Anybody work with anybody that you just can't tolerate? And I'm going to tell you this right now. When you get to a church this size, you're going to go to church where people gets on your nerves. I get on some of you's nerves. But if you'd live right and come to church, me and you wouldn't have no issue. Don't shoot the mailman. I was thinking, you know, we got a couple of male folks in the church. I know Miss Noel and Brother Tim. Brother Tim, you're the postmaster. You ever get calls for people's blessing out you? Mail carriers because they put a bill in their box. That ever happened? I wouldn't mess with the mailman. I'd just read my mail and do something about the sender. Forgive. God can let you forgive the unforgivable, love the unlovable, but He can let you bear the unbearable. Colossians 3:13, watch what it says. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another. You can write that word forbearing means put up with. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave ye, so also do ye. And He's done said that twice in the reading tonight. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Preacher, I ain't going to do that. See, that's it. There it is. You said it right. You ain't going to do it. It's not you can't do it. You ain't going to do it. Big difference in ain't and can't. I can do all things. He lets me deal with my fellow man. Number two, He can let you not only deal with your fellow man, He can let you defeat your flesh. Flesh is an amazing thing. I want to say that He can let you overcome the attitudes of your flesh. Philippians 2 and verse number 12. You know what flesh means? I looked this up and I pinned it down. It simply means human nature. Now everybody in this room tonight's got flesh. We've got that old nature. We were all born with the wrong nature. You ain't got to teach your young'uns to lie. Come natural, didn't it? You didn't have to teach them to say some ugly words. They picked up on it and it come pretty natural. You see, it's the law of gravity. You take this book tonight, gravity pulls it down. That's where we was. You know why? Because Adam fell in the garden. We're all descendants of Adam. Paul said this, when he tries to do good, it's something in him, don't even let him do it. How come you think the Bible said there's none good, no, not one? That law of gravity pulls us down. And so we all have that fallen nature tonight. And that's why I preach so hard on don't you trust this flesh. Now you that have never accepted Christ, you walked in this church, and you're what the Bible says, the old man, that old nature. But you that have accepted Christ, when Christ moved into your heart by the person of the Holy Spirit, He gave you His nature. Now we have an old man and we have a new man. Now I'm 48 years old in the old man. I got born again in 1981, 20 years old. Now my new man, that new nature is 28 years old. So don't you realize tonight that 48 year old a lot of times will outgovern that 28-year-old. Because this old man has seen so much wickedness. That's why it's so important. You never let your children see things with their eyes because your mind has never been saved, never will get saved, and it will keep giving you flashbacks of things that you've seen all your life. And some of you tonight, if you're watching pornography, shame on you. God help you. But if your young'uns get a hold of that garbage, they're going to have that picture in their little mind as long as they live. You sitting around and you drinking in front of them, they're going to have that picture in their little mind all their life. I tell you nothing. You mom and daddies, you fussing and fighting in front of your little old babies, they're going to have that picture in their mind as long as they live. This is amazing to me. Now, I can't say this for my children, Brother David and Brother Tim. My mama's here tonight. I never, ever seen my mom and daddy get in a fight. I heard him say, Christine, a few times. And you know what that meant to her? Get in her place. Now, you can look up. We ain't praying, we're preaching. The husband's the head of the home. The woman's not the foot, the doormat. But lady, you ought to know your place in the home. And it's not to run your husband. And you that your husband won't come to church, you just come on and bring them babies and God's going to bless you for what you're doing. We're going to pray the Holy Ghost busts his hide and gets him saved. God's still in the saving business, amen? But we all got old nature. A lot of you used to drink a lot. And then when you got saved and you got to want another drink, the devil said, well, you didn't get saved. Yeah, you got saved, but now something's going to happen. When you take a drink of that beer, the Holy Ghost lives in you, is going to convict you of what you're doing wrong. and you're going to be miserable and you can't do what you used to do. Somebody told a man one time, he said, "Now, I drunk all my life and I got saved." And then a man told me, "Well, if I still wanted beer, I didn't get saved." That's a lie out of the pit tonight. This flesh loves fleshly things. I'd love to have me a King Edward cigar and bite the end off of that thing. Fire that thing up, boy. I'd love to get me one good dip of Copenhagen and not be convicted for it. I've got this old nature in me tonight. But the Bible said the day I got saved, there's a seed that's put in me according to John. And it lives in me and I can't do what I used to do. Not a long time. I cannot stand to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But when you grieve Him and you've totally overstepped your bounds and you've made Him sad and you've grieved Him in your heart, it's nothing like that. You can't worship like that. You've got to come clean with the Lord. Everything that God ain't for, you need to get rid of it tonight. But it's a growing process. An old man and a new man. And honey, they battle all day long. Old man don't want to pray, does he? Old man don't want to go to church. Old man don't want to do that. Boy, the young man loves, the old man loves sin, don't he? But the new man loves to do things what God likes to do. That old man, oh, he don't like to pray. He don't like to come to church. Boy, that new man. Now watch this. Which one are we feeding more? Are you growing tonight? Are you growing in the Lord? How many times have we eaten since Sunday physically? How many times have we eaten spiritually? And then we come in the house of God and wonder why our services aren't alive. We've got to feed ourselves spiritually. On your lunch break, you ought to get your Bible. Read your verse. When you go into work, you ought not be listening to your John Deere tractor and ache you break your heart. You ought to plug into something spiritual and feed you for the day. That crowd you working with, you need something to get you through the day. So we've got to watch this old nature that we're born with, this flesh, and we're eat up with it. And I want to go and say something right here right quick. Ladies, you ought to present yourself as a lady. In the house of God, ladies ought to dress like a lady. We ought not look like we're coming to Panama City Beach down to the house of God. If your skirt won't want a shotgun, you ain't got enough skirt on. You know what that means? Wad of shotgun. Some of y'all don't even know what that means. Cover up your flesh. We got men goes to church here. Say amen, men. Don't make me look crazy tonight. Say amen. Flesh is made to cover it up. Cover it up. You setting an example. I ain't got no problem with visitors how they dress the first time. They ought to be able to come in and look at you and know how to dress the next time. Amen. 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 Grown men ought not wear shorts to the house of God. And you ought not unbutton your shirt down like Matt Dillon. Walking around like you Tarzan. Ain't nobody impressed with your chest. You need to cover up your nakedness. You may think you God's gift to women, but you ain't to us. Amen. And this is what happens. We'll go to slacking and want to go to doing it, and it goes to catching. You ever notice how Baptists are so addicted to crazy stuff? Mm-hmm. We still preaching. Oh, we still preaching. We still preaching. If you let your young'uns dress any kind of way, visitors' young'uns going to dress any kind of way. You setting the example. You setting the pace. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. It's just fell on me to deal with it. And if I don't deal with it, it's going to get out of bounds. Everything. Faithfulness, dressing, praying, praising, shouting, Bible reading. Y'all, some of y'all want me to sit over there and put blinders on and hush, but I ain't going to do it. Then you'll have your little drama team about 2 years. Little praise band going on. And the Word of God, we won't even know what the Word of God is. People's hungry for entertainment. Let them go to the movie. Let them go to the ball game. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and the few that will stay here with me. It's paid for. It don't take a lot to make things happen here. Amen. Amen. Now, I can still go get a third shift job. I don't want to, but I can. I come up in the hayfield. Work don't scare me. And preaching evidently don't. Flesh. We're eat up with flesh, and we got to be careful what we do with our flesh. When somebody says something to us and we're not prayed up, we'll not even answer them in the house of God. We'll let our flesh answer and then we offend our brother and sister and say something that we wish we would have never said till we go to our grave. Watch our flesh. Our carnal ways. Carnality. We're eat up with carnality. Y'all read over there where Moses went on the mountain 40 days, 40 nights. He had a good congregation, but when he got back, they went crazy. They was down there dancing around a molten calf. That must have been the first praise team, reckon? He got so upset, he throwed them tablets down and broke them. I wish some of y'all could sit under Moses. Man, he'd made me look like a candy striper. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We got to watch our flesh, folks. I'm going to say something right there while I'm out tonight. We better watch this young lady hugging in our church. There's a right way to hug, folk. Come here, Miss Renee. Wednesday night, hugging 101. This ain't the way you hug a sister.
Or your wife. That's right.
This is adequate. This is adequate. Amen. But let me tell you, I draw a line on some things. And if I don't teach you, who's going to teach you? Some of y'all look at me like a calf at a new gate. I can do all things. We can defeat the flesh. Attitudes of the flesh. Philippians 2 and verse number 12. Look what it says. Verse 13, is God which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Look what He says. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We can defeat the flesh, attitudes of the flesh. We need a good attitude. Listen, a good attitude in your home will go a long way. Listen, men, your wife is different than you. And I'm going to go and say this. You're not going to like what I'm going to say. But I'm going to say it because I believe it, and I'm guilty. I don't believe it was never intended for the woman to get out of the household and go to public work. I don't believe it. I know to get quiet. I said I was guilty. Okay? Now they come home and they so bogged down mentally. Now they got babies to get to bed. They got babies to get fed. School clothes laid out for tomorrow. And here you come, Billy Bob, busting in Well, your deer stand on your back and your shotgun on another shoulder, and you look at her and say, what's wrong with you? You ain't done nothing to help her all week. And you won't say, what's wrong with you? I guess we need to go talk to a preacher. You got a problem. No, you got a problem, bud. You need your backside tan for the glory of God. My wife comes home. She's so mentally depleted. Last thing I need to do is jump on her and say, where's my supper? Wish I'd learned that 30 years ago. You think about it. Your grannies didn't work no public job, did they? You know what? We got consumed with things. We think five of us got to work now to keep up with our things. Now our young'uns don't know nothing about nothing. Because they've been pushed out to a world that knows nothing about nothing. But that's where we are. And that's where I raise my young'uns. But it don't change the fact that a lady's different than a man. And we ought to treat her different. We ought to have an attitude at our home that would go a long way. And ladies, you ought to have a good attitude when he comes home so he'll want to come home. Who wants to come home to a woman that's griping and complaining? Ain't nothing good enough. Ain't nothing fine enough. And he's done doing all he can do. Be happy. Enjoy one. Look at what God's done for you. Don't look at what you ain't got. Look at what you got tonight. Look at what you got. When it's gone, you're going to wish the God of glory you had it back. Attitude go along. And some of you, you're goofy. When a fire's burning at the house in the wrong way, you don't back up and just knock the truck out of gear and dump another load on it. You got to take a log off of it. It's going to take her 3 days now to get over what you said yesterday. And I wish it wasn't so. I just know it's so. You know, when we played with marbles and somebody messed up, we just knocked them off the table and went on with the marble game. They don't work like that. An attitude would go a long way. Appreciate what God's give you and get your backside down at the house of God when the doors get open. Quit planning the house of God around your activities and go to planning your activities around the house of God. Why you think ball practice on Wednesday night? You think God come up with this ball league? Anything, job, relationships, careers, wealth, anything that takes you from God, God didn't give it to you. If what you doing is getting you further away from God, you better back up and get back where you was. Honey, God ain't gonna give you nothing to get you away from Him. You remember that. Remember it. Yes, we got to work. Yes, we got to make a living. Yes, we want to provide for our family. But God's got to be first in everything. Sunday morning, I love to play golf. I ain't going to play golf on Sunday. I'm not going to a deer stand on Sunday. One of the best families in this community come to this church. Brother Tim, I messed up and went and had supper with them. Everybody I go visit, they don't come back. They do fine, Brother David, with the preaching, but it's just something about 101. They don't like me in the house. So they had done told me, now we ready to join the church. We want y'all to come over and eat supper. Everything, boy, we was excited. Wonderful. Went over and sat down. They said, now we want to talk to you about church. We ready to join. That's all I said. I want you to be faithful. Is that too hard to ask? When you went down there and signed up at your job, are they going to let you come 2 days a week and keep your job? Is it too much for me to ask you to be faithful to God of what He's blessed you with and support your church? They said, well, we can't go to church there because we can't be faithful. Okay. Well, you can at least come get some preaching to the Holy Ghost out on you where you could be faithful. You got to start somewhere. Attitudes. Attitudes. Attitudes goes a long way on your job, at your home, and at your church. Attitudes. Boy, God can help me with my attitude. I wished I wasn't so aggressive. Folks, I don't like what's in me sometimes. But I know the God of this Bible can help me with me. And if He help me with me, He's going to help everybody around me. Defeat the flesh, attitudes of the flesh, anger of the flesh. And I want to say Romans 6, addictions of the flesh. Did you know there's no reason that a pack of cigarettes have you in a chain gang tonight? Now listen, I love you. I'm your pastor. And the sooner it dawns on you that this preacher loves you, the better off you're going to get. But don't you think for one second, if I'm going to love you, I'm not going to tell you the truth. You asked both of my girls I done raised. They didn't like what I said, and a lot of times they didn't like how I done it. But looking back, they seen I had them at the best interest. When the other little girls in Bowden was standing in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot to 1:30, my young'uns didn't do it. And I'm going to tell you tonight, boy, I believe with all of my heart that there's no reason that addictions can have control of us. And I know tobacco's as hard of addiction that anybody can get. Pornography would have to be hard. Drinking would have to be hard. Let me tell you something tonight. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, you got somebody in you you've never had before. You can quit your cussing. You can quit your dirty joke telling. Watch what he says now, and I'll be done. Romans 6, 13, addictions of the flesh. Boy, we're so addictive, aren't we? Romans 6, I have a very addictive nature. Romans 6, 13. The Bible says, verse number 11, Romans 6, 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. This word reckon, he says, I want you to calculate or conclude that you're dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, since you've got saved, sin have ought to died and Christ has come alive. Verse 12, let not. Now you've got an option. Let not sin therefore reign or be king in your mortal body. I could not stand to go to the finest restaurant in town. You know what I checked to see if I had enough before I got back? I couldn't run out of tobacco. That stuff had a... I hate for anything to have me in bondage. And I'm just preaching on things I can relate to. Now, some of you hooked on things I don't know nothing about. And I'm glad I don't. But watch this. Let not sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Watch. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, or shall not have lordship over you. Because you're not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. For you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey,
His servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that former doctrine which was delivered you. Some of you, you're in bondage with a credit card tonight. You know something? You don't have to be. You ain't got to go and do that. Whatever is giving you a problem, you ought to ask God. You ought to quit yielding to that and yield to God about it. God said, when I'm tempted, if I'll quit yielding to that temptation and yield to Him, He'll give me power in my life to get through it. I can do all things through Christ that what strengtheneth me. That's ongoing. I can do all things. And I want to say this tonight. I can deal with my fellow man. I can defeat flesh, but I can also defend the faith. I can stand for what's right. I can look in Jude verse 3, and that's the last place we go tonight. Jude verse 3. I went 15 minutes more than I wanted to. Jude verse number 3. Some of you, I've won an hour over what you want me to go. Jude verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort ye that ye should earnestly contend. That struggle far, by the way, for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained this condemnation ungodly men, turning the grace of our God to lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We can stand for the faith tonight. You know, some of you are ridiculed because you come to a Bible-believing church, and I know that. And I'm ridiculed because I pastor one. But you know what? It's worth it. My young'uns got saved. I'm seeing people get saved that their drama teams can't get saved. So I believe I'll just keep on contending for the faith. I can do all things through Christ. So what if they don't call me to preach the baccalaureate? So what? So what they don't invite you to their little drama club? So what? Stand for what's right. Contend for the faith. Struggle for it. And I'm going to tell you folks something tonight. It's fixing to get worse every year we live. It amazes me how they just... how blinded people are. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And nothing's never going to take that. If we don't indoctrinate our children in the Word of God, who is? School's not. Legislation's not. It's our responsibility to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus. Folks, if some of these old-timers could come back and see what's going on in these local churches around here, they would absolutely have a bowing fit. You know what I want to do tonight? I believe this with all my heart. Miss Faye, I want you to just come. I want you to play me something on the keyboard tonight, if you would. I know it's done 9:15. But you know what? I wish that you'd just play me a verse. And I want to open this altar up. I want to ask you something. Are you struggling with anything in your life? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens. Some of you, you need grace for when you get home tonight. Some of you need grace to face some people you're going to see in the morning. And you ought to ask God to help you with that tonight. I don't know what you need.
But I know He can get you through anything you need to get through.